Let's get right to it. Nancy's been holding, and we're going to see how we can help her right now at Rosie on the House, 1-888-767-4348. Calling from Maryville. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. My question is, I have some young fruit trees, and I was kind of concerned about the bark getting sunburned because they really haven't had a chance to put on a lot of leaves. And I've seen people paint the trunks of fruit trees white, and I think that's probably helps with the sunburning and probably with insect issues as well. And I'm just wondering, rule of thumb about painting trunks and what, you know, how high up would you go and what kind of paint would you use and that sort of.
Okay. Well, protecting the trunks of young, smooth-skinned trees like pecan trees, fruit trees, citrus trees, ash trees is critical. Because if they do sunburn, that's permanent damage and shortens the life of the tree or just kills the tree. So whether you use a, they make a white gauze tree wrap. You can make a big collar out of cardboard and just kind of staple it. It doesn't even need to touch the trunk of the tree, but just kind of make a long, narrow tube or collar out of it. Tree trunk paint. You want to use tree trunk paint, whether it's white or the Go Natural that's naturally colored if you're objectionable to the white coloring of the trunks. But any of those are absolutely vital. And boy, now would be the time to get it on before the real hot weather sets in. You bet.
And she wanted to know how high up into the branch. Once you're into the leaf structure.
First leaf, you know, basically. Yeah, you don't want to start painting over buds and nodes and things like that, but up high as basically the first branch, first limb, first leaf occurrence, that sort of thing.
Those tree trunk paints are made to breathe. You don't want to put on a house paint that's made to not breathe.
Correct.
And choke out your tree.
Correct.
So
and it doesn't have to be a paint. A wrap works just fine. I was just down in southeast Arizona with a lot of newly planted pecan trees, and they use kind of a cardboard collar, and the little trees just kind of down in the middle of that. So, you know, however you do it, you really have to do it. You want to make sure that trunk doesn't get sunburned.
And I know it's a little ways from you in Maryville, but on 7th Avenue, north of Campbell Avenue, Artistic Arborist is there, and they'll have more options than you knew existed for trunk protection, burlap wraps and everything Jay was talking about. So there's an option for you. I believe they are closed today, though, so local nurseries also carry a lot of those
products
as well.
They'll have paint and wrap, probably. Yeah.
Perfect. All right, let's see. Tiffany's next on the line at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Good morning, ma'am.
Hi there. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I had some Canary Island pines that I had planted in a house about 15 years ago, and I just loved them. And we moved to a new home, and I tried to find them, at your nursery and several others in the valley, and nobody sells them anymore. So I figured I was either going to have to go to California and get some and bring them back, or I thought I'd try eBay, and I ordered 12 seeds for $2.38, and they have come up, and I'm growing them in little trays, and I'm just wondering at what point or how big do they get before I try to move them outside and transition them?
Well, if they're up and sprouted, I'd probably move them outside. I would probably get them outside in a shady spot.
Okay.
For a little while, let them get up maybe 3 or 4 inches tall. Then I would probably repot them into, you know, like a 1 gallon nursery pot. And again, probably keep them in the shade all this first summer. Then next fall, you know, depending on how much they've grown, they could be bumped again into a little bit bigger pot and probably transitioned out into a more sunny location. It'd probably be a year or two before they're big enough to plant in the ground. That's about the only way you're going to get a Canary Island pine these days. I haven't seen one in a nursery in years.
I know, and I love them. They're so tall and elegant.
They really are. We've got a couple growing on our grounds at our nursery in Scottsdale, and they're fabulous.
Aleppo pine sure seem to be what pine tree I see out there more now.
Well, more Eldericas probably than anything. Aleppos even have, because of their size. Eldericas, Goldwater, Mondo, whichever name you want to call it.
I can't find an Aleppo.
Yeah, Aleppos you can find occasionally, but Canary Islands, they've just all but disappeared.
And is that a water issue? Is that this other Alderic's more hardy?
It's a good question. I think the limited production of the Canary Islands, California, kind of gobbles them up, I think. Very popular pine there. The nice thing about them is they're pretty vertical. They don't take up a lot of room like an Aleppo or even an Alderica can get a little spready. And the Canary Islands are much more vertical. You could grow them in a smaller area. I don't know.
It does seem like a funny thing to plant in the desert, but I love those irrigated lots where you come up and they've just got that row of pine on the end of it.
There's still some areas in town that they're a good choice for.
Well, good luck with your Canary Island pines, Tiffany. Let's move to Ryan out in Apache Junction at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir.
All right, so my question is I'm still kind of new to gardening. I've been doing it for about a year and a half, 2 years, and my brother and I decided we're going to go a little bit bigger scale. My yard is all caliche clay, and we've been getting truckloads of wood chips dropped off as an attempt to build a good base soil. And my question was, is there any way to speed up the process other than just letting, nature do its thing as far as the wood chips decomposing?
Yeah, you know what? Hang on. Let me get the number of our realtor for you here.
Well, composting can be sped up by adding, a number of things to it. One would be, manures or, some organic material that's already in the process of or is composting. You can, adding moisture to it, adding accelerants like nitrogen to it. It's probably going to compost quicker if you pile it and keep it maybe even covered with, plastic or something to get it some heat in there and keep the moisture in there and turn it on occasion. Just putting it in the ground, though, and letting it compost in the ground is going to take a while unless I would advocate buying, chicken manure or dairy manure or something and adding it to that to speed it up.
Okay, and that's one of the things we were talking about. We're actually going to be raising chickens as well, and we're going to build a chicken tractor around the whole area and just kind of let the chickens go to town on it. So, we could pick up more manure. That would help speed up the process.
Yeah, but again, it's not composted. It's pretty hot when it's fresh. So you want to make sure you're probably, again, I would suggest you make a big pile and you start a compost pile and use the manure with the wood chips, with any yard waste or green waste, and let that compost before you start tilling it into the ground. You can compost on top of the ground too, but once you start tilling that uncomposted material into the ground, it can actually take nitrogen out of the ground away from what you're trying to grow to fuel the composting process. So have some that you're composting, and then as it's composted, start working it into the ground, and then you're always composting as you create material. So you kind of always have some that's working. Now, you can throw wood chips on top of the ground around your plants as a mulch, and that's no problem at all because it's not, it's not down in the ground trying to decompose. And that's a good practice to mulch. It holds down weeds. It holds in moisture. It cools the soil down. So I would still advocate doing that. But if you're talking about working things into the soil, it really needs to be pretty well composted before you want to do that.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Hey, Ryan, one last thing for you. I have not watched it because I haven't had an hour and 40 minutes to sit in front of YouTube and pay attention. But there's a program called Back to Eden. Just search that, Back to Eden. John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service turned it on to me, and I've talked to about a dozen people that have watched it. And said, if you follow that step, you will have the best soil you can imagine within a 2-year time frame. So if you got an hour and 40 minutes to sit down and watch it, just Google Back to Eden documentary.
Okay.
We're going to move to Jim, still in the East Valley. Good morning, sir. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. So I have a waterfall that I had put in, and I made the mistake of hiring somebody that wasn't a legitimate contractor. And so now I have a problem. It's pretty good looking, but it doesn't hold water, and so it runs out on my patio.
That can be a problem.
I'm wondering what I can do to fix the thing from running. Now, I had it built as a pondlet. It doesn't have a lot of basin to it. It just recirculates the water. But it runs out the patio, you know, runs out the bottom. So that there's no integrity to hold the water in.
So they just used rock and cement or what?
They used a plastic stuff from Home Depot, a fountain.
A kit? So it's got a hard plastic liner?
There's not a hard plastic. It's a soft. It's like a heavy black mill.
Oh, okay.
And they coated that, you know, down the waterfall. Mm-hmm. Before they put the rock on, they put it down the cinder block and build it into a basin. But obviously, they didn't seal the basin.
Well, I hate to tell you this, but you know, I think you're probably talking about just rebuilding the whole thing, if that's the case. If where it's leaking from is in the basin, I don't know how else you solve that problem without taking it apart.
Can I ask you a question, Jim?
Sure.
That plastic liner coming down the waterfall, can we cut that and remove the liner from the basin?
Yes. Yeah, that can be done.
All right. Well, if you do that, then you can coat the inside of that basin with an epoxy waterproof plaster called Thoroseal. And that
Thoroseal.
And that will protect the integrity of your basin. It won't leak.
Okay. Where is the best place to get that?
Marvell Masonry.
Okay.
And it's on Country Club in Mesa. We'll be the closest one to you.
Yeah, and in fact, Jim, if you'll take a picture of the fountain and send it to us at info@rosieonthehouse.com, with your phone number, we actually have your phone number here. Let me take a look at that. I think we can probably fix that. I would want, John, you would want to keep enough of that plastic apron to protect the integrity of the waterfall feature.
Correct.
Then you'd want to have a little skirt of it coming over
flap
the Thoroseal.
That comes over the top of that.
Yeah. So depending on what you've already spent and keeping you from having to tear it all down and start from scratch, send us a picture and let me see if we can't engineer something over the internet machine.